Amen. Before we get into the sermon this morning, let's bow for a word of prayer. Almighty God, creator of heavens and earth, Lord, we ask you to be with us now as we are about to open your word. Father, at this time of year, so many things are competing for our attention, pulling us in so many different directions. Help us to stay focused on what is truly important and not miss what Christmas is really all about. And Father, I pray even now that as your word goes forth, it would touch some hearts and touch some lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, if you ain't figured it out by this point, we're taking a little break from our series on the book of Revelation. Today we're going to be talking about the person of Jesus. Now, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas this year, I want to start this morning by asking you what may seem to be a rather elementary question on the surface. Here it is. Do you really understand what Christmas is all about? Now, I can see by the looks on some of your faces, you're thinking, well, yeah, man, it's about the birth of Jesus. What do you think? Well, that's a good answer. So let me ask you another question. Are you happy about it? Or are you so stressed out because of all the presents you got to buy, all the cards you got to send out, all the parties you got to go to, and everything else that's going on this time of year? Are you so stressed out that Christmas has become unenjoyable for you? If you answer that question in the affirmative, let me go back to my original question. Do you really understand what Christmas is all about? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. See, it's my prayer that God would make this the very best Christmas of your life. And look, not just because of the presents or hanging out with family or friends, but primarily because I want you to come to understand and appreciate Christmas a little bit more and maybe a little bit differently. The title of our message for today is The Christ of Christmas. And if you've been here even one time before, you know that usually during the sermon, we have a PowerPoint presentation that I've prepared, and it pops up on the fancy screens and all of that stuff. We're not doing none of that today. I don't want anything to distract you from what we're talking about here. I want to share the story with you that I shared probably 3 years ago at Christmas time. So if you heard the story before, I apologize for repeating myself, but this story bears repeating because it ties in perfectly with what I'm going to be talking about. One winter, there was a lady who gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. She was so happy that when he was just a few days old and they got him home from the hospital, she wanted to have a big party to celebrate the birth of her beautiful new son. So even though it was the middle of winter, there's snow and ice everywhere, a bunch of her friends and family, they came over to celebrate with her. And when the guests began to arrive, like many of us have done before, especially if we live in a smaller house, when people get there, it's winter, you take their coats, and most people don't hang them in the closet, right? We take them into the master bedroom. We lay the coats out on the bed. That's just how we do. So she was doing this, and about an hour into the party, everybody, man, they're having a great time congratulating her on the birth of this beautiful baby. They're eating. They're having a great time. Well, all of a sudden, you know, mom thinks, now the time has come. This is the perfect time for me to bring out the guest of honor, my son. And she went into his room and she looked and was shocked. He was not in his crib. It was then that she remembered when that very first guest arrived, she had laid the baby on her own bed to change his diaper. When she went back in her room, she found her own beautiful baby son had smothered under all of those coats. So while the people are out in the living room celebrating the birth of this baby, they were actually smothering to death the one they had come to celebrate. Now, you know, when you think about Christmas and the culture we live in today, there's a lot of fun, a lot of festivity, a lot of joy and joking, celebrating of every kind. But when you take a minute and consider the real meaning of Christmas, I believe the baby Jesus has gotten smothered under all of the other stuff that surrounds him. Christmas is supposed to be about him. But there's so many other things going on during Christmas season that quite often he's the one being left out. And that's why I want to talk to you all today about the meaning of Christmas. It goes much deeper than the things we tend to associate with it. In fact, many of the things that we tend to associate with Christmas actually smother what the real celebration is supposed to be about. Now let's get into the Word of God. See, the first two chapters of Matthew's Gospel, they introduce us to the meaning of Christmas, and more specifically to the Christ of Christmas. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Beginning in chapter 1 of the book of Matthew, verse 21, an angel of the Lord, he's speaking to Joseph. And listen to what he says to Joseph. He's talking about the baby Mary is about to have. He says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew gives us a little commentary. He says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Well, what did the prophet say, and who was it? He's talking about the prophet Isaiah, who said this: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you know that? That's who Jesus is. He is God with us here on earth. The uniqueness of Christmas is tied to the uniqueness of this child. The prophet said they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What makes Christmas unique is the person that we celebrate during Christmas is actually the Almighty Creator in the flesh. He's God in a diaper, made possible only through the virgin birth. Jesus Christ is the most unique person who ever lived because he possesses something no one else ever possessed. Now, when I was in Bible college, they called this the hypostatic union. And that is defined like this: two natures in one person, unmixed forever. See, there's a divine nature and there is a human nature. He is fully God, and at the same time, he's fully man, only made possible through the virgin birth. Somebody says, well, hey, how does that work? Well, I'm going to tell you. It works like this. Mary was a virgin. She had never been intimate with a man. Her egg was supernaturally fertilized by the Holy Spirit. So you've got the natural part, the Virgin Mary, and you've got the divine part, the Holy Spirit. And the result is the most unique birth of any individual who's ever been born. There's never been anybody like him before. There will never be anybody like him again. Jesus Christ is the God-man. Now, I want to tell you some more things about just how unique Jesus is. You think about this. He's all God, he's all man. So at his birth, he was placed in a manger, but he made his mother. All of the animals that were present during his birth were created by him. But yet as a baby, he cries for his mother's milk. This is because he is fully God, and he's fully man. See, he's fully man so he can get hungry, but he's fully God so he can feed 5,000. He's fully man so he can get tired, but he's fully God so he can raise the dead. He's fully man so he can get thirsty, but he's fully God, so he can walk on water. He's fully man, so he can die, but he's fully God, so he can get up again from the dead. He is the most unique person who ever lived. Now, anybody who can do that ought to get Christmas every day. He ought to be celebrated and recognized every day. He is the one, friends, about whom the prophets all spoke. All of biblical history looks forward to the birth of this person called Jesus Christ. When sin first entered the world back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis, early chapters, man, we weren't here very long and we messed it all up. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first direct prophecy given about Jesus. Genesis 3:15 says, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Now, did you hear that? The seed of the woman. Now, wait a minute. The seed comes from the man. Every time the Bible talks about the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, okay? The seed comes from the man. But in this verse, ain't no mention of a man. It says the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Why does it say that? Because this tells us that Jesus will be born of a virgin. He's the seed of the woman. No man involved. So here we see back in Genesis 3, the virgin birth prophesied even then. So Mary, this young, probably teenage girl, is chosen for the opportunity of a lifetime. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, Mary raises a question. You know, the angel Gabriel tells her, hey, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be the son of the Most High God. She says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? How is this possible? See, it's possible because from the supernatural, God would enter the natural and bring about something this world has never seen and never experienced. In the book of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born on this earth, the prophet foretells his birth. And in chapter 9, verse 6, listen to what he says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, this is another prophecy about the virgin birth. Notice the language. The child would be born. That's the human birth. But the son would be given. The son isn't born. The son's given. Why is that? Because the Son of God already existed long before this child was ever born. See, Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. That means he is eternal in nature. This is why Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you when? Before the world began. See, before the world ever began, Jesus, who is God the Son, was already in heaven with God the Father. Now, Isaiah goes on here to tell us a little more detail about the wonder of this person, Jesus Christ, the person about only and always Christmas should be about, just him. Listen to what Isaiah says. When this child comes forth, the government will be upon his shoulders. Friends, this baby that was being born into the world would one day bear the weight of the world upon his shoulders. And those of us who know him and love him realize that he did just that. He bore the weight of the world on his shoulders at Calvary when he offered himself. See, he came to Israel and offered himself as the King of the Jews. One day, and maybe soon, he's coming back to present himself as the King of everything and everybody. Isaiah says he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Let me get real with you for just a minute. Most of you probably know someone who desperately needs some counseling. Maybe you yourself need some. But let me tell you this. Sometimes the counseling that you receive from those so-called experts, sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. The prophet Isaiah tells us that would not be the case with Jesus. Why? Because his wisdom would be supernatural. Listen to me. When Jesus speaks, it's the best advice you could ever get because it's advice from God that can also be understood by men. Don't forget, Jesus is all God and all man at the same time. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 says he can sympathize with our infirmities. He can relate to our weaknesses because he's a man. But he can do something about our problems because he's also God. It doesn't get any better than that, man, when the one counseling you has not only been where you are, but he's also got the power to do something about it. He's the wonderful counselor. Isaiah goes on, in addition to saying he's the wonderful counselor, he says he will be called the mighty God. The child that was born and the son that was given is in fact the almighty God himself in the flesh. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says that he is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 says he's the exact representation of God. That means Jesus possesses all the ingredients of deity. Everything that makes God God, it's in Jesus. But at the same time, everything that makes man man, that's also in Jesus. This is why when Job way back in the Old Testament was suffering, remember what he said? If only there were someone to act as a mediator between me and God. If only there was someone who could relate to God and also relate to me. Somebody who could reach up to heaven, but is also familiar with earth. Friends, in this unique person of Jesus Christ, you have coming together in one person, God and man, time and eternity, heaven and earth. There's nobody else like him. Isaiah says not only is he going to be the wonderful counselor and the mighty God, look here, he will be the everlasting Father. He is the eternal God. He is the Father of all time and space. In fact, he existed before time even began. Remember what we just read in the scripture reading from John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus, because in verse 14 it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Father of time, friends, and yet he knows what it means to live in time. He knows what it is to exist before time, and he's the one who will be responsible for timelessness once again in eternity. What I want you to understand, and I said this to the 8 o'clock crowd, I'm glad that we're having this Christmas thing today because we got the framework here, the manger, or the stable rather, or the manger. I want you to realize this wasn't just your average, ordinary, everyday baby in that manger. It was Jesus Christ, the most unique person who has ever lived. Now, in addition to everything I've already told you that Isaiah told us, he says this prophesied child would be known as the Prince of Peace. You got stress in your life, I got good news for you. Jesus is the one who can take chaos and bring order to it. This is why the angels cried out when Jesus was born, peace on earth and goodwill to men. See, when you recognize the true uniqueness of Jesus, order can be brought out of madness. He can bring order to your life. He can bring order to your world. Verse 7 of chapter 9, Isaiah. He says, there will be no end to the increase of his government of peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And then Isaiah even tells us how. Next verse, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Friends, Jesus Christ, the most unique person who has ever lived, will bring a worldwide order at the appointed time by God the Father. Now, anybody who can do all that, they deserve a holiday, and not just one day. It's unfortunate that most of the attention he gets is on one day, and even then, he tends to get smothered by everything else that's going on because the world at large does not recognize his uniqueness. Now, I need you to pay careful attention, because if you don't, you're going to get all mixed up by what I'm about to say. And I'd like to take credit for this, but I can't. One of my favorite pastors is a brother named Tony Evans. And in one of his sermons at Christmas time, he said this: if Jesus were here and he were asked to describe himself, he would say this. Listen now. I am what I was. I was not what I am. And now I'm called both. Let me give you that one more time, then I'm going to explain it. I am what I was. I was not what I am. But now you can call me both. So let's take this a bit at a time. He is what he was, God. He was not before what he is, a man. And now you can call him both. He is both God and man. During his own lifetime, remember, if you've read the gospel, sometimes Jesus referred to himself as the Son of God. Other times he referred to himself as the Son of Man. Why'd he do that? Because he's both. Sometimes he wanted his deity to be revealed. Other times he wanted his humanity to be revealed. Why? Because he's both God and man. And here's the most important part of this whole thing. When you recognize that Jesus Christ is both God and man, when you can relate to him as both God and man, you come to experience God in a way that makes it possible for you to have a personal relationship with him. He becomes somebody that you can communicate with on a deeper level, somebody you can trust, somebody you can confide in. Somebody who can relate to your problems, but also somebody who can help you through them. Now, we're about to wrap it up. As we close, let me warn you about something. Believe it or not, I think Satan loves Christmas. You know why? Because on Christmas, he can keep Jesus in a manger. He can cause people to see the birth of Jesus as just another ordinary holiday. What he doesn't like, what the devil doesn't like, is when celebrating the true meaning of Christmas actually becomes a way of life, a year-long experience, because you recognize this is one baby that cannot be smothered. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So as you make your plans for this Christmas, which is right up on us, I really hope you'll spend some time thinking about its true meaning. Make sure that in the middle of all the parties and presents and food and fellowship, you don't lose sight of who this child really is. The most unique person who's ever lived. He's one of a kind. He's a man, and yet at the same time, he's Almighty God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christ of Christmas. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I know this story so well about Christmas. And Father, when I was researching for this message, man, I got so fired up. It was like I was reading this for the first time. And Lord, I pray that you would take our spiritual blinders off. Help us to see Jesus in all of his magnificence and glory. Help us to have a deeper understanding of who he truly is and what he truly did for us. Without him and his sacrifice, we would have no hope at all of anything but hell. Father, I ask your blessing upon every family represented in this church today. I pray that this Christmas would be wonderful for them, that they would really stay focused on what Christmas is all about. And Lord, as we prepare to head out now, I just want to ask you, if somebody here has a personal prayer request, Lord, please give them the courage to take that to one of our deacons. And Father, we also want to ask your blessing upon the food that is already prepared downstairs or almost prepared. We ask your blessing upon that food before we even head down there. We thank you, praise you, and we love you. Bless us, Lord, with a very Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.